As the reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but it is now hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Shall we just pray? Lord God, we ask that although these are familiar words, that we can learn something new from them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes, it is a rather select gathering. It used to be that the Sunday after Easter was the one people took off, called Low Sunday, and they put on one of the weaker preachers to preach to people. This is my first time at New Hope. It's not the first time I've ever preached, but I think the last time I was in southwest Uganda, where a lot of people, English was their second language rather than their first. So this morning we were looking at the events of Palm Sunday, as you would imagine. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, and his prayer over Jerusalem. When I mentioned to a Christian friend that I was doing a talk on Palm Sunday, he wondered if there was anything new that could be said on the subject. In some ways, he is right. However, as the old hymn goes, "Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here." So as we come to Holy Week and Easter, we are encountering familiar passages. And they are to be a comfort to us and also encourage us in our Christian life. So, on the original Palm Sunday, it starts with Jesus and his disciples visiting Bethany, a village he was familiar with. It was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I hope we are all aware of the story regarding the two sisters on one of Jesus's previous visits there. Also the time when he had to go and find Lazarus dead. He then restored him back to his human body. Whereas Jesus, when we get to Easter, was restored back to his divine body. Lazarus, of course, died at a later stage. So Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village to find the donkey on which he will ride into Jerusalem. Riding on the donkey is to fulfill the prophecy of a minor prophet, Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. And I know Zechariah begins with Z, so that if you're playing the sermon game, you'll probably find that the Z's too early in the game. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So we can see that Jesus fulfills prophecies that have been made in the Old Testament, and there's lots and lots of them. You could have a sermon series on it, I would imagine. I've always wondered whether the donkey had been prearranged, or Jesus, with his foreknowledge of everything, was aware that a donkey was going to be there, or whether there was a taxi rank of donkeys, rather like the ready bikes locally. You know, you went along and just picked up a donkey. The disciples are challenged, but on mentioning Jesus' name, they are allowed to take the donkey. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem commences as they descend from the Mount of Olives, where Bethany, the house of dates, and Bethpage, the house of figs, were. In fact, Bethpage is only mentioned once in the Bible, and that's on this occasion. The whole company of disciples, not just the 12 apostles, start praising the Lord for the mighty works they have done, they have seen. John's Gospel specifically mentions the raising of Lazarus, but it's not mentioned in Luke. They lay their cloaks on the ground in front of the procession. It's a sign of joy, apparently. The Pharisees try to stop the celebration, but Jesus says that even if he managed to get the disciples to be quiet, creation would cry out in joy, including the very stones that they were travelling over. That old hymn I previously mentioned, last but one verse, is, "Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of the heralds, yes, I would sing loudest hosannas, Jesus is King." It's easy sometimes to join a celebration and be involved in the joyous times. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he was aware of his last human week on earth, and also probably his last view of Jerusalem as he comes down and sees it in front of him. He was aware of what he was meant to meet in plan A in the next week. He tried for plan B as he prayed at Gethsemane, but he knew all along that plan A was the only route. With regard to Jerusalem, he wept. Jesus is never reported to laugh in the Gospels, but he weeps several times, including at the death of Lazarus, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He notes that Jerusalem had failed to recognise the true reason for his coming and what the effect of it was. Jerusalem had missed the message. Jerusalem had lost the plot. Jesus the Saviour does not come to save them from the Romans. but saves them from their sins. I hope we haven't lost the message, and we have got what the message is. Jesus recognises that often a hilltop experience, that after a hilltop experience, there's often a valley experience. Jesus in the next week would be turned over to Jewish authorities, who would turn them over to the Roman authorities. He would be denied by his disciples, and in particular, Peter, 3 times. But after a valley experience, we quite often climb up to another hilltop on the other side of the valley. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Whatever your view on the Israel-Palestine situation, it is clear that God made promises about Zion, / Jerusalem, in the past. It is also quite clear that Israel survives amongst many nations who are totally against them. I wonder why. I've seen a picture of a tug of war which has got all those nations on one side pulling on the rope. On the other side, Israel. And the rope's not moving. That's because God is standing behind Israel and has got all his weight on that one side of the rope. Psalm 132 suggests that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We can at least do that, whatever our view is on Israel / Palestine. We should pray for the peace over Jerusalem, which was where Jesus was. We should pray over where we are. So we should pray over Reading. And we should pray for the community around New Hope. Jerusalem was doomed because the group of people there at that time turned against God. And eventually the Romans razed the city to the ground. However, a small remnant of Jews remained, as it always had done since the time that the promises were made. The Bible is full of instances where individuals turned their back on God and even went in the opposite direction. Many repented and returned to follow the original instructions, even though they thought they couldn't do it. Of course, they couldn't do it in their own strength. But with the strength of the Lord within them, they could. So wherever God is leading you, be encouraged, though you will not be asked to do something that you cannot achieve. Because for God, nothing is impossible.
Thank you, Greg.